This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So I've mentioned a couple of times before in sermons, and maybe you've overheard me mentioning it, but I enjoy listening to podcasts. Now, if you're not familiar with a podcast, it's like a radio show. But you can find it covers about any topic you want. And they're a little different than books, like audible books on recording, which I don't appreciate as much for some reason. I like to read books versus listening to them. But the other day, yesterday, I was working in the yard, and I was listening to this podcast, and most of the podcasts that I enjoy don't have ads in them, like advertisements. But this particular one did, and there were three main advertisements that kept popping up over and over and over again. The first one was High Five Casino, a social casino. I still don't know what that means, a social casino. And they were advertising, tell us about your high five moment. And the person that's on there, he's like, you know, you can hear the panic in his butt. Oh my God, I just won again. Casinos. I've never actually been to one. There's no shame here, though, if people enjoy that sort of thing. The other one was Purdue Global. So the University of Purdue, or Purdue University, well-known school, has an online school now that they call Purdue Global. I've also noticed that Yale has such a thing, Harvard has such a thing. And I remember when the idea of an online school was still like, well, that can't be as good as the real thing. And maybe it's not, but all of the schools now are offering these online options. So the next one was about Purdue Global Online. And it started with, this is it. This is your moment. Purdue Global, where you can get over 175 flexible degree programs. We have the degree that will move your life forward. So we have the casino that's telling us we can win millions, and we have Purdue Global that tells us they can teach us how to move our life forward. But the one that kept popping up that I found really interesting was the California Psychics. The California Psychics, in case you didn't know, are America's most trusted psychic network. So trusted that of the people that apply to be one of their psychics, they turn away about 98% because they only want the best psychics. And of course, they have testimonies in the recording, you know, oh my God, this one call changed my life. It was so worth it. Of course, they never tell us exactly how much it costs. And they said, we believe in our psychics so much that we guarantee if your reading is not life-changing, you can get a refund. I'm not sure how they measure life-changing reading, but if you're not satisfied with a life-changing reading, you can get a refund. And at the end it says, experience the joy of certainty. And that's really it, isn't it? The joy of certainty. So much of life is ambiguous that people do find comfort in certainty. And it's interesting because when we encounter Jesus today with his disciples, he is giving them certainty. The Son of Man will be captured. The Son of Man will be killed. The Son of Man will rise in 3 days. And they have no idea what to do with this certainty. They're not sure what to make of it, and yet it is clear as day. And this is not the first time that Jesus has told them this. And what Jesus is trying to do is to tell them again and again that there are certain things in this life that we can trust. And what Jesus is saying is this certain thing in our life and our time together is going to come to an end. And it will come to an end in a very painful way. But it will be reborn again in a new way. And it will change the world. Now, there is certainty in that, but all they could get stuck at was the Son of Man will be captured and killed. And they couldn't see the other side of the story or the picture. They needed a psychic to tell them Yet here he was in their midst, giving them the truth that is. Now, our opening prayer this morning is one of my favorite ones. It says, "Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly and to love to focus on things heavenly." And even now, while we are here living on this earth, while we were placed among the things that are passing away, because everything that is here will pass away, help us to hold fast to the truth that will endure. The truth that will endure is that Jesus did rise from the dead, and that his words and his wisdom have made it this far to us this day in 2024 in Pensacola, Florida. There must be some level of certainty and truth in what he had to share. And so many times we get trapped in the ways of the world, which we hear right in this prayer. The ways of the world are passing away. We are to stay focused on the heavenly things that are here to endure. The ways of the world are passing away, just like Purdue Global. Once upon a time, you had to go to a university physically to get a degree and to study and learn, and now you can do it anywhere while you're holding a full-time job. The ways of the world will constantly be changing. We have cars now that plug in. We have casinos that are social. We have psychics around the country that are the best there is, and you can call them anytime. The ways of the world are passing away, but Jesus reminds them, and our prayer reminds them, yes, the ways of the world are passing away, but the truth about Jesus Christ, the God we know in Jesus Christ, endures. Okay, so there's one thing. We know that the way of Jesus endures, and the ways of the world pass by. So we hear in James how we might live into this idea of keeping our eyes on heavenly things. And again, these words, I love how these words, especially this word gentle shows up again and again and again in reference to how we know that God is working in our lives, how we know that the Spirit is alive. This word gentle. In James, it says, "Show by your good life that your works are done." So in other words, if you're working to the glory of God, then in your life, it will look like gentleness. Because gentleness is born of wisdom. And it says, but if you're bitter, and there is envy, and selfish ambition, ooh, the ways of the world, in your hearts, it says, do not be boastful and false. Now, I love this because it says, if bitter and envy and selfish ambition are in your hearts, do not be boastful about them. In other words, if, because it is a very real human emotion. Notice the word if, because friends, it wouldn't be here in Holy Scripture if it weren't real. Bitterness and envy and selfishness are in many ways the ways of the world, and at some point, most of us will fall into experiencing those feelings. It is a human response. That's why it is pointed out. But we are called to name it. When we hear and feel those experiences of envy and bitterness and selfish ambition, we are reminded to name it. We're not called to judge it, but to name it and then submit it to God. And then to seek God's wisdom on what to do with it. And that, my friends, is where the transformation happens. We name it. We don't judge it. We give it over to God. We don't find shame in it because shame gets us nowhere. It is a constant battle to live in this world and keep our minds focused on heavenly things and not earthly things. And the Holy Scripture knows that. That's why it points out, when the world enters into your mindset, when the things that matter to the world enter in, name it. Don't judge it and submit it to God. Let God grant you wisdom. Let God transform it. We got to work on it. Because we're told, and we probably, many of us have experienced, that envy and selfish ambition cause disorder and chaos. Maybe the state of the world that we're in now, disorder and chaos. But wisdom, again, from above, wisdom of God is pure. Wisdom is peace. Wisdom is gentle. And perhaps, maybe most importantly, wisdom is willing to yield. Willing to yield. Willing to accept that I may not be right. Willing to accept that my opinion may not be the only one. Wisdom to accept that someone else's opinion might be just as valid. Willing to yield to the fact that someone else's perspective might hold value. Those are the strengths and the things that come from God's wisdom, the willingness to yield. It's easy to stand in our self-righteous sort of stance. I am right. And the world tells us, pick a side. You have to pick a side. The world tells us, pick a side. But this says, God is saying, Jesus is saying, James is saying, you have to have a willingness to yield to the fact that you may not be right. I may not be right. And it's in that willingness that we find true wisdom. It's in that willingness that other people experience our peace. It's in that willingness that other people experience us as gentle. You see, of all the things in life that are uncertain, Jesus is quite certain. Jesus knows exactly what is going to happen, and he is telling his followers. And the hard part is, because it's true, and how often is something that is true is hard to hear? How often when something that we want to hear, it's outside of our expectation, and it is true, but we are unwilling to yield to its truth, because it's outside of our comfort zone, or it's outside of our expectation, or it's outside of our own experience, and we're unwilling to yield. And so the disciples are unwilling to yield to what Jesus is trying to tell them. They're too busy arguing about who's more important. They're thinking about the earthly things, and Jesus is trying to point them towards heavenly things. And it takes time. Especially when the news we hear is hard, especially when the wisdom we receive is hard, it takes time, it takes work, and we are invited into that space, and God can hold that space for us to do that work. There is no shame. Shame gets us nowhere. There is only hope that as we yield the ways of the world to the ways of heaven, we will begin to be transformed. And then Jesus takes a child. And I don't know where the child came from, because in the story, they're in a house, and it's him and the disciples, and all of a sudden the child appears. But Jesus takes a child and says, those who want to be first must be last. Trying to get to the front of the line is not the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Making sure that everyone is in line is a way to Jesus Christ. And I don't mean in line like and straight, but that everyone has the opportunity to receive whatever it is on the other side. And children in that era and that time, and some of you may have grown up in an era where children were meant to be seen and not heard. How many of you ever remember that? Children seen and not heard? Jesus is saying that is not the way of the Lord. Rather, it is the child who does not know the ways of the world yet, who does not know what selfish ambition looks like, who does not know what bitterness looks like yet. It is the child that shows us the way to heaven. And we could go down a long thing of psychology and when does a child become aware, right? But Jesus is saying it is not about being seen and not heard. It is about looking at the child and recognizing their importance in the world, remembering what it was like to be a child, remembering what it was like when the world was magical, when anything was possible, when we trusted people. Jesus wants to invite us back because in the eyes of God, we are those children. God says, remember what it was like when the world was magical. Remember what it was like when you could trust. As long as I'm here, says God, as long as I'm here, says Jesus, you can do those things. The world will disappoint you again and again and again. Jesus says, I will not. So as I thought about this thing about children, it's one of my favorite lines. And he does it again at another place in Holy Scripture. Children being seen as the least of these. And I'm reminded of our ministry here at St. John's. And I thought about whether or not I wanted to say anything, but I think today is a good time. We're heading into the fall. There are a lot of activities that are coming up. And St. John's, we're in a really good place. We've been together for 7 years, those of us who've been here from the beginning. Those of us who have just joined, I'm so grateful that you're here. It's been a wonderful journey. But I started to think about this idea of children. And for 7 years, we did open a children's center. And I get to see those children every day, Monday through Friday. I do chapel with them on Wednesdays. It's a wonderful time. But the call to action that I want to offer to the people of St. John's today, those of you who are here, those of you who are watching, those of you who might listen later, I want to build a children and family ministry here at St. John's. I want it to be a priority for the next year. It's time that we remember that as the children that show us and point us the easiest way to the truth and love of Jesus Christ. This is not to dismiss all of the wonderful work that we do together, but I truly believe that the ministry of St. John's is here for a reason. 175 years through fires and hurricanes and wars and yellow fever and all, it's still here. God has this little community here for a reason in this part of this world, in this community right now. And for us to continue to do the work that God has given us to do, I want to invite children and families to come and experience the healing and transformative power of Jesus Christ. So the calling of action today, and I ask you to pray on it, I need three people. I need three people, A, who have the time, be honest with yourself. A, who have the commitment. You don't have to know anything about children, I promise. A, who have the commitment. And A, who have the passion to make that a reality here in this community over the next 12 months. I ask for 1 year commitment. So that's the call to action for us as a group today. But the call to action for us all as individuals is to remember what it was like. So we may not have children, but we were all children once. I remember in seminary one day, we were sitting at lunch and the room was full, about 300 people eating lunch together, and a baby was crying, and somebody looked over and they said, you know, just think about it. Everybody in this room, even the ones none of us liked, that happens in seminary too, everybody, and I might have been one of them, truthfully, I'm not sure, but everybody in this room was an infant once. So while you may not have children in your care at this time in your life or have not ever, you were a child once. Let's go back to that magical place where we could believe the words that Jesus said and stop worrying about who is in charge and who is the greatest and just rest in the beautiful glory of those heavenly things. Because all that is on this world is passing away, but it is those heavenly things that will bring true and endure. Amen.